Coming up on Pop Culture Now, we speak with actress Renika Williams about the hit HBO series, The Sex Lies of College Girls. Plus, we go beyond the list with a look at the most anticipated returning franchises in 2023. And we got all the latest entertainment news you need to know about. It's all happening right now. Welcome to Watch Mojo, and this is Pop Culture Now. Me, I'm your host with the most, Mojo. That's right, it's Mr. Hollywood, Matt Demers. I can't thank you enough for joining me here on this inaugural series. We're going to have so much fun, and I promise no fandom will be left behind. But we can't waste any time because we got to jump into it. Here's some news and views. All right, everyone, we're beginning with the smash hit HBO series, The Last of Us.
You trust me?
Based on the Naughty Dog video game of the same name, the January 15th debut earned HBO its second biggest premiere ever. And the ratings keep on rising, with the second episode seeing the largest growth between episodes in HBO history.
You have a greater purpose than any of us could have ever imagined.
The show continues to be a trending topic, even throwing in some fun Easter eggs, like episode 2's nod to the video game Uncharted. Did you catch Tess holding the same lighter that Sam has in Uncharted 4?
For those who prove worthy, paradise awaits.
Add in critical acclaim across the board, unanimous fan approval, and The Last of Us has exceeded even the most sky-high expectations.
We'll be fine.
All right, well, here to share her hot takes with us today is WatchMojo's very own Phoebe DeJeux. Phoebe, starting with The Last of Us, why is this show resonating so much with audiences over there on HBO?
I don't know. I watched the first two episodes and, you know, just the atmosphere of it is so inviting. It reminds me kind of like a Game of Thrones type show. I feel like the scope of it is so huge. You know, Pedro Pascal is so hot right now, for lack of a better word. And I just think that like this show could grow exponentially. So I'm really excited about it.
Is this the best video game to screen adaptation we've had, or?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying that, but I like The Witcher, so.
You're the one. No.
Well, I mean, now that Henry Cavill isn't in it anymore, I don't know if I'm going to watch it, but, you know.
If she so much as twitches, don't.
Okay, well, moving on with the latest on actor Jeremy Renner following his tragic New Year's Day accident.
You can hear Renner moaning in the background after the accident at his Lake Tahoe home.
He is in rough shape.
Are there any obvious injuries?
Oh my God, yes.
The Hawkeye star revealed that the snow plowing accident that he was involved in left him with 30 broken bones, but he's on the mend.
You didn't see that coming?
He also showed that his sense of humor was still intact, as Renner and Captain America himself, Chris Evans, had a little Twitter banter about just how tough Renner was versus his snowplow.
All right, I'll be in the car. Stay safe. No, wait, no, Hawkeye, wait, you're leaving? Well, yeah, I mean, I need my arrows. It's kind of my thing.
All right, Phoebe, all these interactions are nice and all, but the question is, can Jeremy Renner's career recover from this? I mean, will he ever be the same?
Yeah, I think his career will recover from this. We've seen like a lot of outpouring of love and support from fans and colleagues alike. You know, I hope he feels better soon. It's like a really tragic and kind of freak accident, but I don't think that this will hinder his career.
First Defense 101, class is in session.
Okay, well, moving on to something a little bit different, as Pamela Anderson is opening up about her tumultuous life in a new Netflix documentary.
I blocked that stolen tape out of my life in order to survive. And now that it's all coming up again,
I feel sick.
Anderson also has a new memoir coming out titled Love, Pamela. One such revelation, or allegation from the book, is that Tim Allen flashed his genitalia to Pam on her first day on the Home Improvement set. Tim Allen denies all allegations.
What is becoming of Al Borland? I mean, is my sensitivity being obliterated by my overwhelming masculinity?
I don't think so, Al.
Anderson has also been open about her displeasure of the Hulu miniseries, Pam and Tommy, and refuses to watch it, even after receiving a letter from star Lily James, who portrays Pamela.
What the hell is this?
Okay, clearly, Phoebe, Pamela Anderson has been through a lot, some wild times in her career. Do we as a society owe her some sort of an apology for treating her like some sort of object?
Absolutely. Think about Megan Fox. Think about Britney Spears. Ooh. Think about all of the celebrities that in recent years we've kind of like looked at the way we treated them through a different lens and seen that it's not always been appropriate or fair. And I think Pamela Anderson also deserves that courtesy to just kind of like look back and be like, wow, you know, this was completely not okay.
I put myself in crazy situations. And... survived them.
All right, Phoebe, lastly for us in this week's News and Views is a look at this year's Oscar nominations.
And women talking. Dee Dee Gardner, Jeremy Kleiner, and Frances McDormand, producers.
Leading the pack is Everything Everywhere All at Once with a whopping 11 nominations.
Don't let anything distract you from it.
Notable snubs include The Fabelmans Paul Dano and Tom Cruise, both not getting nods for the Best Actor category.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher.
Just want to manage the expectations.
Meanwhile, Angela Bassett earns Marvel its first acting Oscar nomination. And James Cameron of Avatar The Way of Water, well, he does not get in the Best Directing category.
This family. Is our fortress.
Phoebe, the Oscars are an exciting time for movie fans like myself, but what are your thoughts on the nominations? And a big question for you, who do you think is the front runner for Best Picture?
That's a really hard one because I feel like there's a lot of really good movies in that category. In terms of like surprises, I was actually surprised that Top Gun Maverick was nominated for Best Picture just because really? It's like, it's a huge action movie and it's just unusual. I really loved that movie. Don't get me wrong. I was just kind of surprised. Not in a bad way. In terms of who I think will take home the big prize, I'm hoping it's Everything Everywhere All at Once. It was like one of the best movies I've ever seen, not only just this year, but in my whole life. I loved it so much. It was so creative, so different. And I love to see movies that are like more unique being awarded these big prizes so that movie studios will make more of them because I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of franchises and reboots and I love an original story.
Oh, then you're going to love our Beyond the List category today, Phoebe. It's all franchises and reboots.
No!
But what we're going to do is we're going to take a little pause. Phoebe, you can't go anywhere because right now it's actually time to check out our Mojo Chat of the Week. That's right. It's Renika Williams. But when we come back, me and Phoebe, we're going to go Beyond the List.
You stop making movies, that'll break your mother's heart.
This is larger than any of us.
What are we always saying this campus needs?
Better Wi-Fi?
A decent place to get my eyebrows tinted?
No.
A strip show? It's a sex positive, female forward, striptacular.
It's also a fundraiser for climate change.
We better party while we can.
The show is titled The Sex Lives of College Girls over there on HBO Max, and it is a massive hit back. Just announced, breaking news, this just in, third season coming your way. Who better to tell us more about it and her character in particular? Hey, Renika, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, listen, this must be an exciting time because we've got... anybody that does television shows knows that there's no guarantees. And of the massive amount of shows that make it on air, only a select few come back for a second season. And even then, there's no guarantees for a third, fourth, whatever. So here we go. Before we get into what the show is about and your character, what do you think is resonating? Why are people enjoying this show?
I think it's a lot of reasons, but I think the main reason is because we're in a time right now where people need to laugh. Like, so we touch on some pretty, you know, tough topics, but as soon as it's over, you know, we kind of like rub on it a little bit and then we're like, okay, and we're going to make you laugh, you know? And I think we have a good balance of like showing women at the forefront of comedy, which it's so important to see. So grateful for Mindy Kaling and her providing that platform for us. But it's also just a chance to just see young women be messy. Rarely do we get to see girls, you know, be awkward, make mistakes, ghost somebody, you know, just be a mess like we are. And I think that's what people relate to and they gravitate to.
Absolutely. And by what's with Mindy Kaling really tapping into young people's minds? Because she does that, what is it, Never Have I Ever
show? Yeah. No, I know. She's like so good at it. I love it. I love Never Have I Ever, but I also love that our show is about college because I feel like there, it's like a gray area sometimes. Like you get the young shows and then it like skips over like young adulthood. So I appreciate that she's like showing what it's like in school, like in college.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's break it down a little bit more for those that are just kind of discovering this and they want to jump on the train. Give us a bit of a breakdown, the abridged edition, I guess, of what they can expect out of it and your character in particular, Willow.
Okay, so The Sex Lives of College Girls is about four random suite mates who meet each other on the first day of college, freshman year, and they have to learn how to navigate rooming with each other and also what it's like to be on their own in college, which, like I just said, can get really messy really fast. So grab your bibs. But also, I play Willow. I'm on the soccer team. I become really close friends with Whitney Chase, who is one of the four suite mates that I just mentioned. And I kind of help her navigate her relationships and all the things that she's adjusting to in school because I'm a sophomore, so I feel like I know a little bit. And that's it.
What's the one thing about Willow, your character, that's like you? And what's the one thing that's not like me, if there's anything?
Okay. So I would like to think in recent years, I've become a little bit bolder. Mm-hmm. I think Willow is like super bold and she's like authentically herself, no matter who she's around. She's going to tell you like it is. And I like to think that I can be like that in real life too. I think the major difference between me and Willow is that she plays soccer. I did not play soccer at all. I was scared out of my mind when they were like, you're a soccer player. And I was like, but you know, like my agent told you I can't play, right? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we're gonna get you in training. So trained a few times a week. I was really nervous a lot of the times because I could be a perfectionist, but Aaliyah Chanel Scott, she was there with me and we kind of like had each other's backs and we figured it out.
You pull it off nicely, don't worry. do you do other sports, maybe not soccer, other things?
Is that, you know, what I am a fan of sports, but I'm not proud of this. I have quit every sport I've ever played. Like, literally.
You're not alone.
No, and I, you know, looking back on it, I'm like, Dad, like, why did you let me quit all the time? And he was like, because you should never do anything that you don't want to do. And I was like, whoa, that's not real life. No. So one thing I never quit, which he said he knew I loved it, was theater. I've done a lot of theater in my life. I love theater. And so, yeah, I quit basketball. I quit softball. I quit track. I quit cheerleading, but I stuck with theater.
I want to ask you about that because you started on the stage, which is a very different type of acting, right? Than screen performing.
Yeah. It can be pretty different.
Yeah. What do you prefer more? I always ask this to someone that has done both, and I always get different answers.
You know what? I like both for different reasons, but I will say that when you're dealing with a comedy that's a play, It's really nice to hear the audience laugh. It can be pretty jarring to be on set and be like, so was that funny? Because no one's allowed to laugh and that felt weird, you know? So I do like theater in the sense that you get the feedback immediately and you can kind of figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I like that it's live. Like there's not another experience that's going to be that like that. Like even the next night show is not going to be like the night before. But on camera, I like that we get to reach a lot of different people who may not have access to theater. And I like them.
And TV is a lot of, I mean, on set, is it a lot of waiting around? I hear there's lot of setting up. I hear that. If you want to be an actor in television movies, have patience. Is that true?
No, it's a lot of waiting. Like even if you're doing a two-page scene, it may take 4 hours for you to even get on set. And then it may take another 2 to 3 hours to do two pages just because they have to get like every shot, all the angles. It could be very like, wow, we just did this like 10 times and we're not done, but okay. Like you get adjusted to it, but that's where the songs come in. I will say that Aaliyah and I love to like sing theme songs from like That's So Raven or like The Proud Family. So like in between takes, you know, we just sing a little bit and have fun.
I was going to ask you that on-set dynamic for that show, The Sex Lies of College Girls. Do you have time to like when you're not filming to hang out? Is there like, I don't know.
No, yeah. I have a lot of time. You know, like the show focuses on the four girls. I feel like they have no time. They're exhausted all the time. But like, I definitely have time. And I love hanging out with the cast when I get a chance, when I'm out in Los Angeles, for sure.
Yeah, well, the on-screen chemistry between everyone's great. So it definitely appears that you're all pretty closer.
We like genuinely like each other. It's a blessing.
That helps. And it's never a guarantee as well when you're making these things that everyone gets along. That's why they're actors. Okay, let's have a little bit of fun to close things out here, because we here at Watch Mojo, we like to rank things. We're all about like the top tens. And this show, obviously, like you said, focuses on a college world, which is fantastic. What's your favorite college show other than this one? What would you rank as the top? It could be, I don't know. Anything from the past, your 90210, your Dawson's Creek.
You know what? My favorite college show?
Yeah.
Dear White People.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah. I really like Dear White People a lot.
On Netflix, yeah. And it's gone. Come on, Netflix, bring it back.
No, it's done. I mean, you got to graduate sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like.
I know. You always see like a lot of these shows where it's like set in like a high school, but it's like a 25-year-old playing the high schooler, and it's like, hey, shouldn't they have graduated by now? Like, what's happening?
It's time. Like, you know, the people in High School Musical were like over high school years. But listen, if we can look young, let's do it.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, we do want to encourage everyone to check out. It's the Sex Lies of College Girls, HBO Max, just renewed for a third season. So we look forward to that. Oh, by the way, do you have any? I guess the news just broke, but do you have any insight into what we can expect third season?
I know nothing. I found out like an hour before you all did. So I'm just hoping that like we continue to dig into the lives of all the characters for sure.
Well, it's an excuse to have you back on when you do have more to say. Renika, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, Phoebe, as promised, me and you are now going to go beyond the list. What does that mean? It means that we get to pluck an old top 10 list from the Watch Mojo archives, take a look at it, give our own personal opinions. Did Watch Mojo get it right or wrong? Today's a little different because this is something recent, something topical, something timely. You teased on it earlier, but all the sequels and franchises coming back. Well, today it's anticipated franchises returning in 2023. So the question as we go through, are you anticipating them? Should these movies have sequels? Let's find out with number 10. Because my answer, I'll tell you right off the bat, my answer with number 10 is no. I don't think we need another Hunger Games, but they are coming back. It's the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Phoebe?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think, like, I love the Hunger Games. I read the books. I love the movies. Yeah. I love Jennifer Lawrence. You know, such a great franchise. I feel like it's been a little bit too long. And the whole, like, post-apocalyptic kind of, like, teen vibe is not really it anymore. It's just kind of over. And so, I mean, I'll still watch it. But, like, a prequel about Snow, like, that's the least interesting character.
Yeah, this sounds like a money grab to me. Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds. I'm curious if other people out there are excited for it. Please let us know, because I was wrong about Avatar, by the way. I said this about Avatar. I'm like, no one cares about Avatar. And then lo and behold, it's like racked up $2 billion at the box office.
I can't believe you ever said that. It's surprising that you ever said that.
Phoebe, it was so long.
I know, but it's like the anticipation for the past, like, what, like 13 years?
Was there, though? Maybe.
Yes.
Not in my circles.
Not in your circle. I have Avatar circles. And also, I just want to say that I went to go see Avatar in this new screen that they have at Cineplex called Screen X, where they play it on three walls. Huh? So, like, it's almost like the image is, like, this wide, and, like, whoa, these walls are, like, just, like, the atmospheric images, like the woods and stuff. And it was mind-blowing. I would never see a movie like Avatar any other way after seeing it there. It was so cool. So cool. Yeah.
What is it called? Screen X?
Screen X, yeah.
I'm going to look that out. No, and here's the thing. For those Avatar people, don't come at me, because I actually really dug the sequel more than I thought. It actually, like, surprised me about how much I liked it. James Cameron, he knows how to do those sci-fi movies well. So
it was so good. I cried like 20 times.
I'm actually, and so I joked that I wasn't excited for this, but now I'm like super excited for the next one. So let's hope it doesn't take another 13 years.
No, James they're already Cameron. Done like 95% of the filming, apparently, by the way.
Oh, are they? Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. All right, well, here we go with number 9. Of course, we got to get another Fast and Furious film. It's Fast X. It's number 10 in the franchise. What?
Where are they going? Last time they went to space, where are they going now? That's right. Like, deep sea ocean vibes. Like, what? Where's this going to go?
Admittedly, I'm like you with the Hunger Games. I'll watch it. Because I'm a sucker for the I'm a sucker for these action movies. I don't know if I'm highly anticipating it, though. Watch Mojo. I guess that's why it's number 9. But we're getting it, whether we want it or not. I don't know. Those movies always make a lot of money, though.
They perform so well, and I think a lot of people really do like them. I think personally, I'm not like a big action movie fan to begin with, so it's not really my steez. But you know, they continue making money, so people like them, obviously. So why not?
Tokyo Drift, still my favorite. That's like such an underrated, right? The third one. People dismiss Tokyo Drift. Don't sleep on it if you
haven't
seen it.
Justice for Tokyo Drift.
I'm starting the hashtag. All right, number 8. Yeah, I think a lot of Marvel fans are excited about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Only number 8 on this list. I wonder if there's another Marvel movie to come. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This is interesting. And this is James Gunn, who is now... He directed this, and he's now the big guy at DC. So it's going to be a bit of an interesting media round where he's promoting the competition.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that whole situation that happened with him and Disney, they fired him, they took him back. Yeah. It was like a bit of whiplash for everyone, and I'm sure for him too. So good for him for getting that coin, that superhero coin. But this I'm so excited for, because I think Guardians of the Galaxy is like my favorite kind of like movies in the Marvel franchise. They're just so fun and colorful. And I find like they do, like Taika Waititi kind of hit that note with Thor Ragnarok, with like a lot of color, great music, great acting, a lot of comedy. The second one that he directed was not as good. So I need that like James Gunn signature vibe for this one. I can't wait.
And I just love the characters, all the characters in the Guardians. They're so great.
Drax is the best though.
Oh, isn't he? It's like hilarious. Yeah.
But Dave Bautista has been hating on it so much lately. He's like, I'm tired of playing these stupid characters. Yeah, I'm like, okay, you're doing an M. Night Shyamalan film now. Like, calm down.
Yeah, that's what he said. He wants to move on to more serious fare, because he is a pretty good actor. Like, if you watch him in, what was it, Blade Runner 2049? Yeah. I thought he was pretty good in that.
He was, and then he was also in Dune, no?
Yeah, he was in Dune. Yeah. And then also he made a Blade Runner was a cameo, and then there's also a small part in the Bond film as well. He's a good actor. I love him.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go with number 7, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Only number 7. Watch Mojo. I'm anticipating this a lot.
Eh.
No.
Eh. I don't know. I like the de-aging technology just turns me off so much. And like, I don't know. Have you heard this rumor or did I make it up in my head that like, what's her name? Phoebe Waller-Bridge is supposed to be like taking over Indiana Jones after this movie.
That has been squashed. That rumor did take off and they're like, and the director saying no. And even Harrison Ford saying no, when I'm gone, Indy's gone.
Okay. No, I was excited by that because I really like her. But again, I've said this many times, like women deserve their own action franchises, not like piggybacking off of other ones. But I'll go see this movie because of like the nostalgia and everything like that. But like the de-aging technology does not impress me. And I don't know. It's to me, it's just like whatever.
I think the de-aging is going to be a small part. So I hope so. And I'm glad they're not going to try to make a new Indy because they did try to do that kind of with Shia LaBeouf. Remember?
Mm-hmm. And everyone hated that so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number six. This one's highly anticipated by me and a lot of other people. It's called Creed 3. I love me some Creed. All those Rocky films. And the Creed movie. And this is Michael B. Jordan directing it. So he's starring as Creed and he's also directing it. This is a passion project. And the trailer is just, oh man, I'm salivating with this one. It's so great.
Wow. Very descriptive language.
I actually
haven't seen any of the Creed movies.
No.
I love Michael B. Jordan. I think he's so great. I feel like he went like super, super A-list celeb and he's kind of become like a bit underrated in the last couple of years, in my opinion. Sure. So I can't wait to see him in another movie. I do love him and I'm excited for him to direct this movie. That's so cool.
Well, get on the Creed train.
Okay.
Phoebe. Trust me. People out there, don't Creed so it's a great
sleep
film
on
series.
Creed. Don't. Justice for Creed.
Starting all the hashtags today. Okay, number five. Here's the other Marvel movie, and it's only number five. Watch Mojo. I can't wait to see what's more anticipated than Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, because this is kicking off the next phase of the MCU. And I'm sure it's going to have big implications. I think a lot of people, myself included, can't wait to see what goes down.
Yeah, I will take back what I said about Guardians of the Galaxy being my favorite like movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I will say that Ant-Man is actually my favorite.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, I love Paul Rudd. I think Paul Rudd is he's like, you know, Chris Pratt is like charismatic, whatever. People don't really like him anymore, but Paul Rudd is like the charismatic, lovable actor. I just adore him. I'm so excited for this third movie. But the one thing that I think we need to talk about is MODOK. You know that
Okay,
my husband was telling me about it. He was like, did you not notice that in the trailer? And I'm like, no, there's no way Marvel would put that in a trailer. Because he showed me like a picture. I'm like, I think it's fake. And then I watched it and I was like, no.
It's so
Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm excited to see the return of that actor who was also in House of Cards. I don't remember his name, but I'm excited about that. But
I think it's Corey Stahl, I think is his name. But yeah, nice. that image is just, oh my God.
Like, why would you even put that in the trailer? It's not finished. Like,
I know. It's pretty hilarious. Okay. Number four is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. So we're going to get a second part to this one. Tom Cruise. This is like his crazy. We always say this with Tom Cruise. His craziest stunt yet. But he does this pretty insane jump off a cliff with his Tom Cruise doing stunts.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is like the bachelor of actors where they're like the most dramatic season yet, but it's the most dramatic stunt yet. I'll watch it. Was the last one the one with Henry Cavill where he did the...
Yeah.
He charged loaded, up his fists.
Loaded his arms. Yeah. So great.
That's so sick. Yeah, I'll watch it for sure.
Yeah, I don't know who the villain is. Well, Ethan Hawke. Yeah, Ethan Hawke's in here.
Oh my God, cool.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke is in here. So, I'm excited. I think those Mission Impossible movies are always fun.
Yeah, I mean, always. It's just like, I don't know. I guess it's like Fast and Furious. It's like, it's super fun for the fans. And like, I like this franchise, so I'll definitely go see this movie. And it's also like, it's such an appeal to have Tom Cruise do all of his own stunts. It's just like, oh, I can't wait to see it. I feel like that's a big appeal of it now.
That's his like new thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dune Part 2.
Part deux.
It comes in at number three. Yeah, I'm a Dune fan, big time.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm really excited for the second part because I feel like the first part was mostly exposition. And in that way, and like, don't take this the wrong way, it was a bit slow just because I feel like they were introducing like so many concepts and characters and ideas and themes. And so it was just like a bit slower. So I'm excited to like get to the actual meat of the story. But yeah, yeah. I can't wait. I love Denis Villeneuve too. He's like one of my favorite like filmmakers. Oh. So I'll see anything he does.
Yeah, but I thought the action scenes that they did put in that first one were fantastic.
No, of course. No. I agree with that. It's just I felt like it was a bit heavy on exposition, which makes sense because it is such like a wide scope story and everything. And maybe that's like what went wrong with the first one, like the original Dune movie with Kyle MacLachlan, that it was kind of like too compact. Much. So I understand why they did it that way. But I'm excited to kind of like get more into the meat of the story.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. Are you a what's his name? Timothy Chalamet? Are you a Chalamet stan?
Stan, I would not say that. I would say fan. I would say I like his movies. I loved Call Me By Your Name. Did you hear about the controversy though lately about his like his agent or something said that he hasn't auditioned for anything in 7 years?
Yes. Yeah, I heard that.
And
too.
It's like, well, he's too young to be like that. Like there are actresses, like I think the article that I read about it was saying that actresses like Regina King, who's literally like a legend in Hollywood, like queen, still has to audition for roles, and Timothy Chalamet can just be like, yeah, I'll be in Dune. Like, what's that?
But Chalamet is so, people will probably make movies and be like, we need like a Timothy Chalamet type. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like the new Michael Cera. Yeah,
there's only like one guy, Michael Cera. I don't know. You're right.
Yeah, it's we'll just see weird. We'll but see no, I like his I like his movies, and I'm not saying like it's like it's more like an industry problem it than is. It is like a him problem. But yeah, no, I do like his movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting once he changes because he's kind of looked the same for the past 10 years, right?
Like, yeah, he's like really very like, boyish. He looks like a little kid. Yeah, boyish is the word I was looking
very
for.
Very boyish, not in a bad way. No. Yeah, clearly working for him, but it'll be interesting to see.
Him grow up.
grow a beard, Timothy, maybe. I don't know if he can. Okay, number two. John Wick Chapter 4 is number two.
Yeah.
Are people love Keanu Reeves that much? I guess so.
Yes. Yes, they do. I think our colleague Steph had a little to do with this being at number two because she is number one John Wick fan.
She's met him.
Yeah, wasn't she like in one of the movies?
Yeah, she was Stephanie, who works with Watch Mojo on the quality control side. She also does acting, and she was, I think she had a part in one of the John Wick films, she said, yeah.
Yeah, she's a legend. She's a Watch Mojo John Wick legend. But yeah, no, I love Keanu Reeves, fellow Canadian, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Of course.
So I support, I'll see it. There you go. Love my Canadian king.
And every time I think that franchise, I'm like, what more could they do? They expand the story building, like it always gets me hooked. I'm always engaged with it.
Yeah, and I will say that I don't think that Keanu Reeves is like the best actor, but he's like, there's something about him that's just like so lovable. Yeah.
And in these roles, the John Wick roles, he's great.
Oh my God, yeah. He's perfect for it. Can we talk for 1 second about what Matthew Perry said about Keanu Reeves?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was like, why are we losing artists like Heath Ledger, but Keanu Reeves lives on?
Like, what? And Keanu's like, he didn't know where that came from.
Why would you ever say that about somebody? That's and also, like, shot. You could have said, like, if he wanted to make that point, he could have said, like, why do I live on, you know? Like I don't know, to not put anybody under the bus. It was such a weird thing to say.
It was, yeah. And a fellow Canadian, Matthew Perry. Come on, that's not very Canadian.
Come on,
don't
do that.
All right, here's some honorable mentions. Watch Mojo does this. We throw out some honorable mentions. Evil Dead Rise. Yeah, the Evil Dead franchise coming back. Scream 6. Oh, yeah. Hello, Phoebe. I love me Scream. And I was so in love with the last one that they did.
Yeah, yeah, Scream's awesome. It's like the perfect horror movie for me. Like Evil Dead, I'll never see just because it's too scary for me. But I think like Scream is like the perfect blend of like comedy, horror, slasher, thriller vibe that it's not like, it's not too much, too far out of my wheelhouse. I will definitely see this one.
Yeah, and this one they're going to New York City. So it gives it a nice little different twist instead of Los Angeles.
New York!
New York! Well, this it looks cool. There's like a subway on the side. They could do so much in New York
City. I'm pretty sure it was filmed in Montreal, just so you know.
That's right. Montreal doubles as New York quite a bit. Okay, Shazam! Fury of the Gods is an honorable mention. Yeah, I think DC... Is that the only DC one we got?
Yeah, it's the only DC one worth its...
Well, yeah. Shazam was fun, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love Shazam. That's my favorite like DC movie. Well, other than like the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy, but like Shazam was so much fun. What's going on with Black Adam? Wasn't he supposed to be in Shazam? Yeah. And like now and they're Rock just like canceling it. No.
Rock didn't want to do Shazam because it wasn't a big enough superhero for him to go in. And by the way,
are you serious?
Yeah. And by the way, Black Adam's not getting a sequel. And that's why it's hard for me to get excited about DC movies because they're rebooting everything. So like, is anything that happens in Shazam even going to mean anything once they do like the new, you know what I mean?
It's such a disaster. I have never seen like a more embarrassing rollout of like a new phase of movies. Like, first of all, they do Black Adam, which obviously was a Dwayne Johnson like passion project, which I understand. But like, why do it if there's no plans of doing a sequel? And why do it if it means nothing in like, it's like Suicide Squad. They did one, then they were like, oh, let's redo it. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, no. People don't just erase it from their minds.
The biggest problem with Shazam or with Black Adam 2 is they said, oh, you stick around for that end credit scene. Henry Cavill is back as Superman. And then they're like, oh no, Henry Cavill, he's not doing another Superman.
What? Like, they need better people on their team because it's just like really embarrassing at this point.
PR nightmare. So James Gunn hopefully can turn it around. This all happened prior to him. So hopefully he can.
Wait, is he directing Shazam?
He is not. He is not. He's actually directing the new Superman movie. We don't have an actor yet, but we'll see.
Sorry, it's just so funny.
It is. It's a PR nightmare. And plus Flash, we didn't even talk about Ezra Miller. That's going to be an awkward media tour. Yeah.
I don't think we need to talk about that.
How could you promote that movie with all the other stuff going down? It's going to be interesting. Okay. Number one, Watch Mojo's most anticipated franchise returning in 2023 is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Yes, Across the Spider-Verse. That's the name of this one, the sequel. Yeah, I dug that first one. It won the Oscar, that first one.
So good. It's like one of my favorite movies. Like, I actually couldn't believe it. Everyone was hyping it up so much, and I was like, it's just a Spider-Man. It's an animated Spider-Man movie. Like, not my thing. You know, I watched it, and I was like, oh my God. First of all, the animation is like breathtaking. It's so unique. It's just like so beautiful. Like, the story is amazing. The characters are amazing. Like, everything about it I love. I cannot wait for this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this looks fantastic. It's coming out this year. So I'm sure we'll talk all about it on this show. Hey, Phoebe, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this very first edition. A big thanks going out to Phoebe. Love me some Phoebe. And hey, Renika, make sure you check out her show, The Sex Lives of College Girls, over there on HBO. But the biggest thanks going out to you for watching and listening, of course. Hope you join me once again. I've been Mr. Hollywood with Pop Culture Now.